I like to read Scientific American magazine because it has science in it, but it kind of closed captions it for people like me who don't get science so well. But I read an article in there recently that said that nearsightedness is on the upswing. I assumed when I saw the headline that that would be related to the number of screens in our lives, that we have our phones and our iPads and our computers, and that that would be the cause. But the article says instead that it's not screens, but it is not enough time outside. Nearsightedness, of course, is the ability to only see up close. I would have only been able to see up close if I'd been present at the miracles that we read about today, the miracles of Elijah and Jesus. I would have said either, "Thank you, God, for saving my son. I don't understand, but thank you for this miracle." Or I would have said, "Why that son and not mine? If miracles are possible, why aren't they available to me?" And if miracles are, as one author says, God's way of setting right the things gone wrong in this world, why isn't God choosing to set this thing of mine right? When we have these impossible, hard questions for God, what do we do with them? How do we respond to this concern and this fear and this anger that we have inside? How do we respond? I think that we find great solace, though not necessarily any answers, in prayer. If we think back to the article about nearsightedness, the scientists who did the study have suggested that the answer to nearsightedness over the long term is to get outside more. The Christian way of getting outside more is called prayer. What is the function of prayer, and how does it work if it does? Much prayer, understandably, comes off as bargaining. God, I will do anything if you will, and we fill in the blank with something that is critically important to us. We often cannot fathom why our circumstances or those of someone we love are so unfair. Why was that widow's son saved while mine perished? We do routinely pray for others. We get outside in that way, and our sight improves because we more clearly see God and God's people, and I hope God's will. Prayer takes us outside of ourselves. And when we get outside, we stave off the tendency to become so nearsighted. We hope that the circumstances improve, but primarily we pray for people to be with them to get outside ourselves. The philosopher Wittgenstein once wrote about having a set of practices in your life that become so ingrained that it's difficult for you to critique them or understand them. In other words, we become nearsighted and we don't even know we're nearsighted. Even when our prayers are bewildered and accusatory, we come closest to God when we pray. We find the greatest comfort when we remember that God is with us, when we finally try to get outside ourselves. We do, as Christians, live in a very challenging space, one where we believe that all good things are possible with God, but where we also see that those good things don't always happen. If you've ever seen the movie Shadowlands, it's about C.S. Lewis. And the character C.S. Lewis in that movie says something about reading that I think applies also to prayer. He says, "We read to know that we are not alone." Perhaps that is also why we pray. To summon the presence of Jesus, not only to effect the miracle we need, but also, or perhaps even better, to know that we're not alone. We pray so that others know that they're not alone. There are many reasons for us to take these steps to get outside of ourselves. We need to balance our perspective on God and on the world around us. A book called The Internet of Us says we can fail to perceive what is really there because we selectively attend to some features of our environment and not others. In other words, we are trained to see what we want to see. In our culture, in a way, we stay so much inside ourselves that we cannot see others, cannot see God, cannot see grace at work. We despair inside ourselves, losing perspective. And that despair makes us unable to find the profound comfort of God and makes us unable to see the miracles of God. But when I pray, I take the step to be outside myself. Very often I find that my prayers are not comfortable, but they're comforting. And they will ask me very often to do something that feels risky to me. In our Old Testament story today, Elijah took a risk to be with the widow. He did not understand any better than we do why God would let the child die. And the woman, for her part, thought that this man of God was bringing the message to her that she had committed some unknown sin, and for that she was being punished by the untimely death of her son. This is a risky space to step into for Elijah. We are all called to take risks, to be with people, even when, or especially when, we cannot explain what has happened, when God seems arbitrary or punishing. We can't explain everything. And one of the commentaries on this passage says, "What would it mean if we no longer lived in a trustworthy world? What would it mean if we saw everything as random, if we saw that we have no control over anything? We could never explain that this bad thing or this good thing happened because of this thing that went before. What happens if the world becomes untrustworthy? We have to be with people. That's all we can do. We may not be prophets in the sense of Elijah, but we can be equally present to people who are hurting and asking impossible questions about God and of God. We can be in those blurry and distorted places where we may be able to find some relief, but we will rarely see the dramatic events that are portrayed in these stories. The real spaces we operate in as God's people need the smaller miracle of one human being being present for another. As Elijah was present at Zarephath, as Jesus was present at Nain. So maybe prayer is not so much a way of getting things fixed as it is a way of knowing we're not alone when they are incredibly broken. Maybe the greatest miracle of all, though invisible to our drama-seeking eyes, is that we go through this earthly life intimately accompanied by God, by Jesus, by the Creator and Redeemer of the universe. Through our prayers, we remember that we are not only to address the fallout of what has happened, but to prevent the disaster as best we can. We pray to know that we're not alone in our effort to make the world better, to heal others who are wondering where their miracle is. So perhaps the answer to dealing with the apparent untrustworthiness of the universe and what happens to us is to pray. Pray for God's will, for God's comfort, for God's guidance. Our nearsightedness disappears when we do one thing: get outside more. Amen.